From your fountain that flows from your mountain, let me feast from the Father's supply. Oh Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are here this morning, Lord, by your grace, by your mercy, Lord, by predestination, that you called us and ordained us before the foundation of the world. And Lord, you brought us into your presence, Lord, to be led of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to walk in the light of the age. Lord, to find our place in Christ. And Lord, that's all grace. It's all by revelation, Lord. And all revelation has been given by you. And we thank you and praise you this morning. We thank you for each one here. We ask you would speak to every heart, Lord. Lord, that you would supply every need. We know that we're a needy people, Lord. And Lord, we have a desire, not just for the natural things that we have need of, but for the spiritual, Lord, that you would draw us closer unto you and give us a closer walk, a greater revelation, Lord, a greater understanding. Lord, we just commit each one to you, those here, those that are listening in or will listen in. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can be seated. Now we greet you. And we thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here this morning. And we're glad to see each one. I want to, first of all, I wanted to mention just a couple of things before we get into the mess. And I do want to get right into it. As usually, I have a lot. And so try to cover a lot of ground as much as we can. And you know, it always happens as you start studying a subject, and it always gets bigger and bigger as you know, you think, I'm just going to take this little bit, and then as you open it, you find out it's always bigger the more that you look at it. But I'm enjoying it, and I thank God for it. And as you can see, the title this morning kind of may be repetitive, but I want to stress rather the whole rapture, the entire rapture. And both of these are quotes that Brother Branham, statements that Brother Branham made, and he made them in the same message. And so, but what I wanted to bring up is I just want you to continue to pray for each one. There's many needs among us in the congregation, and so we're asking that you just daily pray one for another. One of the things is Brother Goomba has had it on his heart for some time now to go back to Pakistan. He's wanting to go to Sri Lanka to see Brother Rohan. We've been praying about that, and so what we want is we're asking everyone to be in prayer for that, and we think maybe and then again in December there will be something there. There will be a gathering for some meetings there in Thika. And once again, wanted to plant that seed for all who could make it. We'd love for you, each one, to go there and see it. And we feel like that's a part of us. And especially for the ones that are from there, that it really is. And but for myself also, because going there for many years and this the believers, the body there in Thika, and not just Thika, but they're around many different places. And so, but I will say Thika is special. There's some if I say too much, maybe I'm going to hurt somebody else. So let me just leave it right there. We love all the bride. We love all the body. And we thank God for that. So we're asking you to pray for that. And also, you know, last year when we were sending Brother Goomba, we talked about, you know, giving the people an opportunity. So we want you to consider that, be in prayer for that, and maybe put something back. Or you can turn it in, and Brother Michael will put it together for like we did last time, so we have something to give him when he goes. And so just be praying about those things, that the Lord will have his way. And then another thing I wanted to mention, I've been meaning to mention for a few services now, and that is on the building out here. There's some things, just if we could just had a couple of days, we could work in a couple of Saturdays. We could finish up the siding out here. And we're real close on the inside to getting the insulation. And then we'll be ready for drywall. And so we're at a good point. And the siding wouldn't take too much. We already have the materials. We just need a little bit of manpower, two or three people. And even if we, you know, like we did before, just maybe a few hours on a Saturday morning or something, we could make some good progress. It wouldn't take that long to do it. So I want you to be thinking about that, praying about that, and if you have some time, let us know, and we will try to work that out. And so let us now just move right into the message. I'm going to read in Ephesians chapter 1 this morning, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 10, and then we're going to get into the quote. So on Wednesday, we just took scripture after scripture and was talking about the meaning of some of those words in Thessalonians 4:17. And so now this morning we're gonna be in the quotes, and we're gonna go back. We're gonna get a little bit of history this morning, and I've read some of these things many times. You have in the Church Ages book, and you know, sometimes you think, okay, this is just history, it's just elementary. But I've seen some things that just stood out a little greater to me this morning or yesterday as I was going back over it. And so I want to put that in here. And I'm going to take a few more services on this, talking about the rapture, because there's so many quotes and there's so many avenues and there's so many directions you can come from on this. And so that's what we want to do. We want to cover as much as we can on it. So let us begin here in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Jesus Christ. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I always love reading those scriptures now, because now that we're living in the revelation, we can read it and not be confused about what it's saying. We're not. Well, it sure sounds like two people. No, it is. It's the Father and the Son, and he's saying, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And he talks about it. He sends greetings from both of them, and but we thank God. In verse 2 there, he says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And so we know that's the Father and the Son, and we know that's the Spirit, and it's the Word. And so when he's referring to Jesus the man, it was God the Spirit and Jesus the man. And so it was God in flesh. And so we thank God to know those things in this day. And they didn't know it. They lost the revelation in the church ages. They lost it. And so they didn't know it. They didn't even know the name. Is that right?
That's right.
They didn't even know the name. Here they were holding to a promise that they were going to be a bride and they were going to be married, and they didn't even know the name of the one that they were going to be married to. That's quite something, isn't it? Yeah. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And this is all, this whole reading here is really great, every verse of it. And because we came into the world aliens. Is that right? We came into the world lost. We came in as sinners, alienated from God. But yet in the mind of God, there was an elected group that was predestinated to be sons and daughters of God. Amen. And so there was an adoption. There was going to have to be something take place to bring these people from that old nature, from that life of sin. There was going to have to be something that was going to bring them from there and place them in him. Yes, and that's where they came from. Because that's what he said. They came from him, and that's where they had to get back to. And so, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And now, this is more real than it's ever been, is in this last day. He's lavished upon us. He's showered upon us all of this wisdom, all this revelation, all of these great things for us to know and to understand and to live in and to be a part of. He's poured it all out and he's blessed us in such a great way. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together, huh? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he's going to gather together, right? In one, all things in Christ. Where's he gathering them to? In Christ. He's going to gather all things, right? Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Amen. Yes. That's the promise. All right. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Now we see, and he's reads this scripture here, part of it, and it's broke up a little bit. And so I left off some of the things because he's going to say it. So for the sake of time, we'll let him say it. Now we see his mystery. He had hid in his mind before the foundation of the world in Ephesians 1. Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Now watch, it's not addressed to the world, see, but to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And remember in the Church Ages book, Brother Branham said that one of the reasons that the revelation is so misunderstood is because the people fail to recognize that God, the Bible, is speaking to two groups of people. Is that right? Just like right here. And just like in Brother Branham pointed out, places in Revelation. He says that he's speaking to this group. He's speaking to the bride. Or he's speaking to the lost. He's speaking to Satan's bride. So that's what's happening here. He's speaking to a specific group. See, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, how do you get into Christ Jesus? By birth, by one spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, we're all baptized into one body, see? All right, that's the ones he's talking to. That ain't addressed to the outside world. He can't talk to the sinner on this because he knows nothing about it. Paul didn't address it to no sinners. See, he said, this is to that group there that's in Christ Jesus. And that's what we were talking about the other day. How hard it is to talk to people about the rapture, about the resurrection, about spiritual things. That what they've got to do is they need a new birth. They need a new birth so that they can recognize that God has sent a voice. And when they recognize the voice, then what are they going to do? They're going to hear it. They're going to believe it. They're going to act upon it. As I was talking, Brother Goom and I was talking yesterday, and once you get that revelation, it don't matter what he says. It's like people have tried to do with the Bible. And we do with the Bible, but not everybody does. But whether you understand it or not, you believe everything you read here. Because it's been revealed to you that this is the Word of God. And that's the same thing to a believer today. Huh? Yeah. This message is the voice of God. And so you, whether you understand it or not, you believe every word that's in this message today. Because that's the word of this day. That's God in flesh today. That's God in word form today. That's God in spirit today. Is that's the message of this age to this group of people. So when he's talking to us. And we thank God for that. See, paragraph 182. Heavenly places. I'm sorry. I don't know why. Let's repeat the scripture up here. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Whereabout? In heavenly places in Christ. Huh? And Brother Branham says, heavenly places. What is heavenly places? Huh? Heavenly places, just for a moment now, is the believer's position in Christ. That's what heavenly places in. Paul talked to his group in that day, and he told them that they were in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay? They, when they were born again, they're living in the presence of God. Is that right? Yes. Remember Cain went out of the presence of God? Yes, huh? He went out of the presence of the Word. He went out of the presence of the Spirit. Right. Huh? How? Because you can't get out of the presence. God knows where you're at. No matter where you are, you're in God's universe. He created it. He created you. But he went out of the presence of God. Because he left the Word. And he didn't want the Word. And that's what the churches do. That's what people do today. They go out of the presence of God. Amen. It's more serious. It's more serious than we speak sometimes. It's more serious than we express it sometimes. But it's serious. This is the only life. It's easy to sit here and say that Jesus, when he came on the scene, he was the only life. He was the only voice of God. It was the only truth. Everything else, no matter, the whole Old Testament was the Word of God. Right? The whole Old Testament was the Word of God. But when Christ walked up, that was not in effect now. What was in effect was the living Word that was standing in their midst. And if they couldn't accept Jesus Christ right then, then they were lost. That, and all the churches can say that, almost all of them. Some are rank, they're such rank unbelievers, they can't even believe that. When Paul came along and he began, God sent him to the backside of the desert and revealed to him the mysteries. And Paul said it was the mysteries hid from the foundation of the world that he was revealing. And actually Jesus said the same thing. That he was speaking things that had not been known from the foundation of the world. And then Paul comes along with some more revelation that had never been known from the foundation of the world. Right. And so God was unfolding more and more and more. And now when this new thing came, then to reject it, it didn't matter how much you believed in Jesus Christ. If you didn't believe what Paul was saying, you were lost. Huh?
Yep.
Yeah. You say, well, no, Jesus was God. That's right. But Jesus sent Paul.
Right.
God sent Paul.
Yes.
You see how close it is?
Yes, sir.
It's that close. And that's the same thing today. God sent William Branham.
Yes, sir.
God sent William Branham to the seventh church age. And then when the seventh church age was finished, then God incarnated himself in William Branham.
That's right.
It was God himself. That's what the Bible said was going to happen, and that's what the prophet declared was going to happen. It couldn't be a man anymore. It couldn't be. It had to be God himself. See, so the believer's position in Christ, it's the Word. It's the Word for the day and the age that you live in. It can't be another day, can't be another hour, can't be another message. It's got to be the Word in season, the Word in the day that you live in. That's where it's at. And you take your position in that, right? So quiet this morning. I can feel it. I can just, you know, usually I just feel that flow, but it just feels quiet. I don't know. I don't need noise, but it just, it's okay. Do you love him?
Amen.
Amen. We love him. Amen. Are you happy?
Amen.
Huh? We are the happiest people in the world. You say, well, you don't act like the happiest. Well, we got troubles just like everybody else. We got trials like everybody else. We got persecutions like everybody else. But we have what they don't have.
That's right.
Huh? We get the same trouble they get, but we have what they don't have. We have eternal life. We have revelation. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's the greatest thing that anybody can have, is to have the revelation of their position in Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it is. And Satan wearies us sometimes. Satan makes us feel tired. He makes us feel unworthy. He makes us feel like our problems are so much, or are so much to deal with, or are just down and out. You have a bad day, whatever it is. But we got to go back and refresh ourselves. And tell this body that's dying that eternal life is living in the inside.
Amen.
That God, the creator of heavens and earth, is living in his wife.
Yes, sir.
That's not just words. That is eternal words. That's eternal life. That's the true and living thing that's happening in this day.
Amen. That's right.
People today are just like they were in Jesus' day. In Jesus' day, there was only a handful of people that said, this is the Son of God. And then the rest of the people said, this is just too much to believe. It's exactly the same.
Amen.
Yes, it's exactly the same thing.
Yes, sir.
Everyone knows it's the end time. Everyone knows that it's supposed to happen. Everyone knows there's supposed to be a rapture. Everyone knows the end of the world is close. But it's just too much to believe that this little sixth grader could bring a message to bring the bride out, to rapture the bride into the presence of God. It's just too much. Satan is right there to cause people to doubt it, cause people to question it, cause people to wonder about it. That's his job, and he's good at it. But for the elect, they're past that. Don't matter how strange it seems, don't matter how unusual it is, it don't matter how much I don't understand something, it still thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
It's the word of the age. The believer's position in Christ, where the believer stands in Christ, in heavenly places. See? We're not standing in Moses' day. We're not standing in Paul's day. We're standing in this revelation. We're standing in the opening of the seven seals. We're standing in the revealing of the seven church ages. We're standing in the revealing of the seven thunder mysteries. Huh? The half hour of silence. That's where we're living at. That's where we're standing at.
Amen.
We're not just here trying to have a social gospel. We don't come here every time and have you line up. Let us come pray for you. Let us lay hands on you. Let's pour oil on you. Let's do this and let's do that. No! We're here for one purpose, and that is for Jesus Christ to reveal himself.
Yes, sir.
And I can't do that. I can't do it for you. These ministers can't do it for you. God has to do it.
Yes, sir.
But there has to be something inside of you that's crying out for it.
That's right.
There has to be something in you that wants it.
Amen.
More than anything else.
Yes, sir.
That's right. More than a fine home and a nice car and have the luxuries of this life. Right. Yeah. You got to want it more than anything else.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Nothing against all those things. You can have all of them. But he's got to be first.
Amen.
Yeah, he's got to be first. He's not settling for second place. Brother Branham preached a message called The Believer's Position in Christ. There's something here I wanted to, I didn't read it, and he's not talking so much about the position, but he is at the same time, but he's talking about worship. And that's what I put it in here just for this purpose. Listen to this. To the faithful in Christ Jesus, now this letter's addressed to those, not to the outside world. See, it's not a sermon. See, Paul wasn't preaching here to the unsaved. He was preaching to the saved, the called out, the separated, the set aside, the faithful in the call, huh? The faithful in the call. Those that are faithful to what they're hearing. The faithful to what God is revealing, to what God has given them, see? And that's who he addressed it to. In Jesus, see? The believer's position in Christ. And Christ will only meet the believer. Listen close to this now. Will only meet the believer can only worship Christ as he is positionally placed in Christ. Huh? Remember Jesus telling the woman at the well? The true worshipers will worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Is that right? There had to be a time that the true worshipers would be able to do that. Okay? They were doing it in a partial revelation and a partial pouring out of the Spirit of God. But there was never a time until this day that the fullness of the Spirit and the fullness of the Word has been revealed so that the body of Christ could now worship Him in spirit and in truth in His fullness. Never happened. They worshiped in the amount that they had for their day. That's all they could do. See, so listen to what he said. The believer can only worship Christ as he is positionally placed in Christ. Now, I don't believe you get it. See, and I don't believe you understood what I just said. So here's what he's going to do. He's going to spin it around, and he's going to say it right point blank. And this is what we need more of.
Amen.
That's right. And when the word gets point blank, that's what makes people leave. That's what, it don't make the bride leave. No, but it makes the church member and the social gospel, it makes them uncomfortable. They don't want to hear it.
Yes, sir.
I don't believe you get it. Let me go another route. See, look, a believer cannot worship and has no right to worship. What? You can't and you don't have a right. No man has a right to worship the Lord outside of being in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we already read how you get there, right? There's only one way to get there, and that's a new birth. Huh? To be baptized by the Spirit of God. Brother Branham said, the new birth is a birth. Sound redundant? The new birth is a birth. A birth.
Amen.
When a baby is born, it's a birth.
Yes, sir.
And that is baby is coming into a new life.
Yes, sir.
And that baby's got to grow and that baby's got to mature.
Right.
And that's exactly what happens to you.
Amen.
If you come to the message, you come to any message church, without the birth, you are gathering an intellectual understanding of whatever the preacher is saying.
Yes, sir.
Wherever you're at, whoever it is preaching, whatever. When you read the book, you're getting an intellectual understanding. Not saying it's a bad understanding. It could be very good. You could have a very good understanding. You can understand so much. But that's not the new birth. The new birth is when Christ comes into you and slays that soul of the world, and that gene of God is birthed
right.
And comes to manifestation. No man has a right to worship the Lord outside of being in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? If we had time to go back and pick up the laws on that, what laws? Back there in the Old Testament, those outsiders, they had no right to enter in. Is that right? They could not come in. They were in the out. They had to stay on the outside. They were considered unclean. That's right. This was for those chosen ones. And that's exactly what this is. As my brother Adam said about those seven thunders, he said, it's only for the bride. It will not be made known to the public whatsoever. Isn't that amazing? They can sit in the same congregation, hear the same word of God, and it be revealed to one and go right over the head of another one.
Yes, sir.
Huh? That's not a new thing, though. That's not a new thing. That's been happening that whole Bible. That whole Bible been just like that. We're in the complete, Brother Ben said, we're in the complete fulfillment of Matthew 24:24. Yeah. False anointed at the end time. Impersonators. They had a law back there that those people couldn't come in. Brother Branham said there should be a law that these singers and these preachers should not even be allowed to come into the church and sing their gospel songs. You like your modern gospel? That's all fine. Brother Branham said they shouldn't be allowed in the church. They go sing in the bar on Saturday night, and they come to church on Sunday morning. That's for someplace else.
Yes, sir.
That's not for the elect.
That's right.
That's not for the true worshipers. That's for those other groups.
Yes, sir.
Let them gather. Let them do whatever they want to do. Let them do it. But the elect is going to gather in Christ in heavenly places.
Amen.
You don't go out on the dances and the drinking and all of that stuff on Saturday night and then come to church on Sunday morning. When I was a rank unbeliever, I knew that. When I didn't even know I didn't know nothing about the Bible, I didn't know what was true, I already knew that. That's right. That was the life I was living. I was in the world. I was in those things. And those people that were going to go to church on Sunday morning, they were right there with me, doing the same thing that I was doing. I wasn't claiming to be saved. No, I had no clue. I had no revelation. I knew nothing about what it was. But I knowed they couldn't do the same thing I was doing. Now, I don't know how I know that. That's just natural, isn't it? Isn't that just natural understanding? You can't live in sin and then call yourself a born-again believer. There has to be something different. And that's what attracted me to this message. That was the thing that I heard the first time I came to a little church. They were meeting in a house. It was a little house, a little one-bedroom apartment. And I sat there with a couple of widow ladies. And that man began to tell me that there was a prophet in the land. And he began to tell me about the supernatural. And something started burning in my heart. Because everything he was saying about that man, who I had no clue who he was, knew nothing about his life, everything he was saying is what people talked about was in here. Everything that this man was doing, he was praying for the sick and they were getting healed. He was praying for blinded eyes and their eyes were opening up. He was praying for dead people and they were raising back to life. That was this Bible living in a person.
Right.
It wasn't somebody down there drinking and smoking and carousing and doing all that stuff. No, it was somebody that God had got a hold of. There's two brides today. There's two. God's got one and Satan's got one. There's not a almost another one for a God. No. Yeah, you can say it's so close it would deceive that, but it's still Satan's.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Turn it any way you want to turn it. God's got a bride and Satan's got a bride. You can't be in both. You can't be over here on Saturday night, Friday night, and then be over here on Sunday morning.
Amen.
No, it don't work.
That's right.
This must be for out there somewhere. I don't know where it's coming from. These things keep happening. I don't know where it's coming from. I know it's not here. Here recently I got on the women, and I know it's not here. I know you're believers. I know you live a clean life, a pure life. I know that. But I don't know where it's coming from. It's just coming. So I just have to say it. I don't know what else to do. 184. Predestinated. There's the mystery. He, before Christ or anything was ever on earth, you see his great mystery that he chose the bride? Huh? Before Christ, before anything, he had in his mind that predestinated bride. See, knowing Eve would fall from disbelieving the word, knowing she would fall, but he would choose a bride that would not fall. See, that would hold to the word regardless of what all the rest of the world had to say about it. See, they would hold to that word. They're predestinated to stand there. The adoption of the children by Jesus Christ, predestinated to the church to that great glorious stand. Praise God. That's what you are today. That's where you've been called today.
Amen.
That's where the bride is today. God predestinated. He didn't have it. Nowhere did he have it.
Amen.
He didn't have it in Eve. He didn't have it in Sarah. He didn't have it in Mary.
Right.
He had it in this bride in this last days.
Amen.
There would be a people that would be on the earth who could not disbelieve the word of God. Mary wasn't the Word, but the Word was in her. She still doubted. She said, "Your father and I have sought you with tears." That was a real emotional plea, but it wasn't on the Word. God isn't dealing with our emotions. God isn't dealing with our ideas. No. I know how hard it is. It's just like just preaching the rapture to unbelievers. But Mary could have walked right in there and told them priest, "This is the Son of God."
Yes, sir.
"This boy," and they'd say, "Oh, no, this is your boy. This is your son." Yeah, he is. But he's the Son of God.
Right.
He's the Son of God.
Amen.
He is Isaiah fulfilled.
All right. Yes, sir.
Instead, she said, "Your father and I." But he was gracious, wasn't he? He said, "You know, I have to be about my father's business."
That's right.
I love the word, don't you? Don't you just love it? 186. God's great mystery now being unfolded. That's been hid since the foundation of the world, but prefigured all the way down through there. That's right. It was being prefigured back there. It was in Moses. It was in Joshua. It was in Joseph. It was in every one of those prophets in the prefigure. Just think. You know, that just hit me, brother, the other day. I was reading and I was thinking, you know, we've, as Gentiles, we haven't had a lot of prophets, right? The prophets was to Israel. And then I thought, brother been talking about the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, and being the Old and the New Testament. And I got to thinking about it. And I said, why would they need two more prophets? They've had so many prophets, right?
Right.
Huh? We haven't had many prophets.
Yeah.
They've had the prophets. The prophets were to them. And it was over and over and over and over and over again. What they don't need a prophet. What they need is the revelation of what those prophets said.
Yes, sir.
And when they get that revelation, those prophets have already said it.
Right.
It's already been said. They just need that revelation.
Amen.
And that's what they're promised to get.
Yes, sir.
They get the revelation of what Moses and Elijah has already said. And Moses and Elijah represent all the prophets of the Old and New Testament.
Amen.
Represent all of it together. And that's all they need is that revelation. Even Brother Branham said, if they see a prophet, they're going to take to it, yeah? That's the natural thing, and some would. But that's where they failed all the way down through the ages. They rejected every prophet, right? They continually rejected. What do they need? That revelation. That's what they're going to get. God's great mystery now being unfolded, that's been hid since the foundation of the world, but prefigured in it all the way down through the ages. It's been slowly unfolding this mystery. Can you see now? Praise God. See? And what happened in the prefigure? He opened Adam's side, took part of his flesh, which was Adam to make Eve. The bride has to be the Word, for He's the Word. See? She was taken from Christ. All right. Oh, listen to this. This is where we wanted to get to, right here. This is the good stuff. All right, paragraph 188. And to be sure now, the whole rapture now. How much? The whole rapture. Right? Luther was a part of what? The whole rapture. Wesley was a part. The prophets was a part. In the Old Testament? Huh? Well, they weren't looking for a rapture. No, they weren't. They never had any idea of a rapture. Well, other than their prophets being translated, right? So I guess there was some thoughts there. But I don't think they had a promise that they were going to be. But they were promised resurrection. So we won't discount that. Luther was a part, Wesley was a part, the prophets was a part. If they weren't, see, weren't a part, .. just in the revelation. Just in the revelation.
Amen.
What did Brother Branham say in the rapture message that the rapture is?
Revelation.
A revelation.
Yes, sir.
The rapture is a revelation.
Uh-huh.
And how he's saying here that Luther was a part of what?
Revelation.
The revelation. Wesley was a part of the revelation.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Pentecost was a part of the revelation,
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
They were part of the rapture, which is a revelation. See, that they was making up. That part of the revelation that they was making up. They didn't have the fullness of it. They had a little piece of it. But they were making up a part of the body of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
That's what it is. See? See? Let's read it. Just in the revelation that they was making up the body, the feet, the toes, the arms, and so forth until the head. See? What's the head? Him. Himself.
Yes, sir.
Right? That makes the entire rapture. How much? The entire rapture. What is it going to take to have the entire rapture? All of the revelation? Huh? It's going to take the feet, the toes, the arms, the body, and the head. Huh? That's going to be the entire. That's going to be the whole rapture now. You got to have all of it together.
Amen.
See? That makes the entire rapture. It's the body of the Word,
right,
which is Christ.
Amen.
Huh? That's what it is.
Yes, sir.
Well, the only thing that makes this hard for us to understand is we've got to shake off 2,000 years of theology. And as soon as we shake off 2,000 years of theology, then we can come right over here and easily believe this right here.
Yes, sir.
That God, there was a big picture. And the big picture was that He was revealing Himself. And He's the Word. And he was giving out a little bit of word and a little more and a little more. And all the time, from Genesis to Revelation, it was revealing Jesus Christ.
Yes,
it was revealing himself.
Right.
And it was in the feet, it was revealing Christ. In the legs, it was revealing Christ. In the middle, it was revealing Christ. Up here, it was revealing Christ. Huh?
Yeah.
And then what happened? He himself came down and joined himself to the body, the word body, huh?
Right.
The body of Jesus Christ. All of his revealed word in Moses' day, in Joseph's day, in Paul's day, huh? All of them was the revealed word.
Amen.
And in today, you are part of the body. You are part of this head. See, that makes the entire rapture, it's the body of the Word, which is Christ. Amen. Outside of that, you're lost. I don't care how good you are or what your relationship is, what your fellowship is, what your organization is. You are lost outside of that Word being in you.
Amen.
Praise be to God. That's right. So we're going to skip down. Let's do 191. Now notice now, down through the ages, he has been gradually letting this out. Slowly unfolding the mystery through the prophets and through the types. See? Yes. Now we're in the Church Ages book. Now here we're going to get a little bit of history, but it's real good.
Amen.
Oh, you Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterians, Lutherans, Pentecost, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. See? Get out of that old dead creeds and things that belongs to a Catholic church that's going to be consumed and all of her daughters with it.
Amen.
Where was this? This was right in the seventh church age. God was crying out, calling the people out.
Yes.
Come out of her, my people. Huh? This is the seventh angel message, messenger's message.
Amen.
Come out of her, my people. And be you separated. It was a calling out from the Catholic Church. Now watch where this started at. We're going to go back to Luther's day and watch this thing. Now I really cut a lot out of this. I really butchered it up. So you can go back and read in your Church Ages book and get all the in-between and all of that. But I was really trying to get it down. But I mentioned on Wednesday about Luther snatching them out. Wesley snatching them out. It was the word snatching them out in their day. So he's going to use the word right here. So this is the scripture now in Revelations. And he's talking. He says, hold to that you got. God is speaking to them, to the age, to the people. And saying, hold to that you got. Luther snatched you out. Huh? Hold to that. He didn't have much. He just had a little revelation of justification. So he said, just hold to what you got. You don't have much, but hold to that. Because it's ready to die. See? They'll purge you right quick back into it again. Now, this is, Brother Branham said, where Satan comes in and wants to snatch you back to the world. You come, somebody introduces you to the message, someone introduces you, have an experience with God, and Satan comes in and wants to take you back. Just like the seed that falls on stony ground and falls on these different places. See? It's got to be on good soil. It's got to be watered. It's got to be taken care of. You remember Brother Gene and Brenda used to live right next door here years ago. And Brother Gene was God, a miracle. He'd been through such an accident that they had him opened up and left him open for months. They was working on his insides, and it was just such a long recovery that they had him down in the basement of this hospital and had his insides opened up, and they were working on him, and just, it was an ongoing thing. They just had to keep being inside of him, so they left him open. And so, but anyways, all that to say this. I used to have a garden over here at the house, and you know, after it goes a little while, and I just leave it. I didn't take the time to get the weeds out. And so he come to me one day and he said, Brother, he said, what is that you're growing out there? You know, there was a time you could see the corn and you could see the beans and you could see, But then there was a time you just seen all the weeds, and the weeds were taller than the beans. He said, what kind of garden is that you got? He was just giving me a hard time. That's what happens. That's what happens in this spiritual walk. If you don't take care of it, if you don't take care of this seed, if you don't take care of this wheat plant, isn't it astounding how that the weeds grow faster?
Huh?
The weeds grow faster than the wheat. The weeds grow faster than the grass. All right? And get a drought. Do the weeds stop growing? The weeds just come up, man. They're flourishing. Huh? They do. Look at the yard. No, there'll be no grass coming up. And there's the weeds just coming up all over the place. And you're thinking, where did this, and varieties. There's like 2, 3, 4 varieties out there. You're like, where did it come from? Amen. Satan's on the job. See, hold to that because it's ready to die. They'll purge you right back to it again. Hold on. See, and I have not found you perfect yet before God. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, I love that. Not perfect, see? They were just justified. They were just justified. Luther preached justification. You had to be sanctified and then filled with the Holy Ghost. And then they wasn't their own, see? They were perfected by the Holy Spirit in them. Not our own. It has to be God. It's not the Christian that's perfect. It's the perfect Holy Spirit in him, see? And now, I've not found your works perfect. You know, this was the message to the Sardesian church age, right? So I was able to cut a lot out. But you go back and read it if you want to refresh yourself. See, you haven't come to perfection. Listen to what he's saying. He's letting out some things. Because we find out now that they had justification right here. Justification is right here under Luther. And sanctification is here. And here's the Holy Spirit, see? See? Now, the three elements that worked in those three church ages, that's what it takes to constitute the full birth. Right? You see what he's saying? They didn't have it. He's confirming they didn't have it. They had to get over here. That's why the true birth, the new birth, came today. Brother Branham said in the token message, it never came until the evening time. Yes. Huh? They didn't have it. Yeah, they had a baptism in Pentecost. They had justification. They had sanctification. Right. But it was building up. It was going to take more than that to get it where it needed to be.
That's right.
It's not like, it's just like we read the other day, Brother Branham was talking about the difference in the wheat plant and the tree. One, just it goes into the ground every year and it resurrects. It goes into the ground and it resurrects. But the wheat plant is coming through those stages. See? The life comes up in the blade. And then it's in the stalk. And then it's in the tassel and the shock. Huh? But it's never the seed. It's never the seed till it gets back to the seed. So the life was coming through there all the time. But it wasn't the real thing yet. See? It's the Holy Spirit coming to birth. 141. Now, we come to speak. Now, we come to speak of the Reformation. Now, the next verse said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. God trying to warn them here to stay out of this Nicolaitanism. Stay away from there. See? Keep your garments unspotted from any things of the world, just stay free in him, and he would lead them and guide them. That's right.
Amen.
Now, by Reformation, I mean the escaped ones. Huh? When I'm talking about the Reformation, I'm talking about those who escaped. Where did they escape from? The Catholic Church. These different, the church and state locked in together. They escaped.
Yes, sir.
How did they escape? Luther snatched them out.
Yes, sir.
Wesley snatched them out.
Right.
The escaped ones is the ones he's talking about. That's these right here, this little bitty group that's living by justification. Huh? They escaped. Now look, they come out, they've seen the light. After the death of Luther, Luther never made no organization. Now, you know, we say that all the time. Brother Branham said it all the time. But here, he puts it right straight in line. We say many times, we say Luther brought it, then the Lutherans died, then the Wesleyans died. And it sounds as if Luther died and went back. He didn't. The life was in Luther. The life was in Wesley. But the life continued on. The man went off the scene. But the life went on. Now he's going to place it perfectly in order right here. See? Now look, they come out, they've seen the light. And after the death of Luther, Luther never made no organization. It was that bunch after him. Wesley never made no organization. It was that group after him. Them old founders, there we talk about Pentecost, huh? The dying of Pentecost. Them old founders of Pentecost never made an organization. That's right. It was that group after them. That's the ones that does it, see? It's the second round that does it. The real angel of light will never make an organization. And that's the reason why the message churches look so bad today. That's right. And I say that. I don't know how else to say it, but just say it. But when the message people begin to look like the world, when they dress like the world, they talk like the world, they go to the worldly places, then that's what you have. You have the world. Brother Branham said, the Spirit of God will separate you. And the Bible said, if you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not in you. I don't have to explain it. I don't have to do anything to it. It's just there. It's just there. The real angel of light will never make an organization. And you'll find out on Pentecostal age what comes at the end of that organization too, see? When the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. Now he said, you've got a little bit of light left, just a little bit, and it's ready to die. See, it's dwindling. It's just justification. And they can swing you anyway. You haven't got any life yet. What? Because you took the wrong name.
That's right.
Huh? You haven't got any life yet. There they were, and this thing is beginning to come up. It's beginning to come up. There's beginning to be a little bit of revelation. And he's telling them now, you haven't got it yet. They thought they had it. They had something. But they didn't have the fullness of it.
Amen.
You haven't got any life yet because you took the wrong name. But at least you've been snatched out. What were they snatched out of? Huh? The Catholic Church. That's right. Brother Branham said this was mostly all political during this time. He said it wasn't spiritual. He said it was mostly all political. The church and the state. But this was a great step. Just getting them out of that because it had such a hold among the people.
Yes, sir.
That's right. The church and the state together had them bound. So for somebody to stand up and declare this was wrong. This was a powerful thing. This was a powerful thing. For the people, and you know, they're watching Luther and they're in shock.
Yes, sir.
They're watching him come up there and put what, almost around 100 theses he nailed to the door of the church and stood right there and told them it was wrong, told them about their communion, told them about these different things.
Yes, sir.
And people were sitting there, some of them in fear of what could happen. But it started a fire down in the hearts of some of those people, those elected ones. And they said, I've always wondered about that. I've always thought that. Somebody needed to say that. Thank God for a man that will speak it and will say it.
That's right.
That's right. And they began to stand on that.
Amen.
They escaped. They were snatched out. But at least you've been snatched out, see? You've escaped the Roman church. You've escaped the dogma. You've at least come that far. Huh?
Right.
See, now you're reading the same Bible. But the same Bible that teaches the Holy Spirit, he never condemned them for what they had. Huh? He never condemned them for all that they had that was wrong. They still had a lot. But they come out. They were still doing the sacraments, some of these different things that they do. But they had come out. This was a step. And he's telling them, you just hold on to this. Hold on to this. Because that which you need, it's not there. But it's coming. It's coming. So he had to pull these out. Huh? That's why Luther was a part of the revelation.
Yes, sir.
So Luther was a part of the rapture. He was a part of this great revelation.
Right.
See, he was part of the body. See, now, but the same Bible teaches, he never condemned. Now, hold on to that till I come. See, just keep holding on. That's right. Now, there's a little bit of history here, so I want to put it in here because it's real good. Now, the church began about 1520. The church age began, Luther's age, when the Roman Universal Catholic Church had full swing. They completely controlled everything. The people were under the grips. They were just bound. They didn't have the Word of God. They couldn't just go get their Bible and read it for themselves. No. Luther wrote them a Bible. Luther translated it for them so they could. See, that was another big part of them escaping, of them coming out. They were under those leaders.
Yes, sir.
They were bound by that. See, and that lasted. The Universal Catholic Church had full swing. That lasted until October. Listen to this, to a day. October the 31st, see, 1570 A.D., when Martin Luther nailed his 95th thesis on the church door in Wittenberg, Germany. And from that time, the Reformation was on.
Yes, sir.
See? And from that date, the Reformation set in, the fire began to fly. Praise be to God. Now that's a spiritual fire.
Amen.
That's somebody standing on the Word. God, give us that today. We need it.
Yes,
we need it in every soul, in every person. He protested the Catholic Church standing there. That his hand, in his hand like that, he said, this, he had the bread and the wine. He said, this be the holy body of Christ? No. It's a wafer. And it's wine. And he threw it on the floor.
Yes, sir.
Could you imagine those intellectuals? He just throwed their God on the floor.
That's right.
He just throwed the literal body of Christ on the floor.
Right.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He had to break that thing.
Yes.
He had to break it. He had to bring them out.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. They had to be raptured.
Yes, sir.
That's right. They had to be raptured. They had to just... They had to be caught up in this thing and be brought out.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. To be translated.
Yes, sir.
It just means from one place to another place, one form to another form, one idea to another idea.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, it was on. It was on. This great rapture. Luther was a part. Wesley was a part. 147, he protested the Catholic Church. And that little snatch out come in. Huh? Yeah, that little snatched out group. Yes. All right. It was on. But it was more of a fight for political power than it was for the real true church, for the Christian standards. They only fought for a political right to come out of the church and make another church. You see that? See how powerful that grip was? They were just trying to get their own place. They were just trying to have their own church, their own freedom of religion.
Yes, sir.
That's all.
Right.
See, they never reformed coming out of the Catholic Church to bring back the Holy Ghost and power in the church because they denied it. Huh? It wasn't revealed. It wasn't time. It wasn't time. Huh? It was a political rally. That's where it would certainly fit. Listen, thou hast a name, back to the scripture now, thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. That's where they were. In other words, he just brought out the Protestant denomination. That's all. He brought a daughter out of a church. He brought a prostitute out of the whore. Huh? Isn't that something? But he got her out. She escaped. That was a big step. That was a big step. See? That's exactly what happened. See, a prostitute out of a whore, a daughter out of a church. That's exactly what happened. He brought, I can't pronounce this name. Can somebody help me with that? Huh? Athaliah. Athaliah out of Jezebel. You know who Athaliah is? Huh? The daughter of Jezebel. Brought the daughter out. It takes a real spiritual mind, don't it? It takes somebody who really knows to use that as a, I mean, just like that. That's knowing your Bible, isn't it? That's just knowing your Bible. And do you know Athaliah means Yahweh is exalted. Yahweh is exalted. Is that right? Jezebel given her daughter a name that exalts God. How about that? He that is in you. Oh, here's where it gets good. Now, the seals are broke. Yeah, the seals are broke. See? All in the Lutheran age, he pulled them out. All in the Wesleyan age, he pulled them out. What's he doing? The same thing he said in the rapture message about this group of people on the earth today. He said this rapturing without death is he's bringing them out of the seventh church age. He's bringing them out of the seventh church age into Christ. Huh? Into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See? In all the different ages and the Pentecostal age, he pulls them out. There, over here. Where is over here? I'm going to leave that to you. He pulled them out of that age, and now they're over here. Where is here? It's a body. It's a revelation. Huh? They're over here and won't be judged with them. No. They've separated themselves. They're, help me out here. They're what? They're rapturing. Huh? The Lutheran age, he pulled them out. The Wesleyan age, he pulled them out. The different age, in all the different ages, the Pentecost, he pulls them out. They're over here. They're rapturing. Wow. You got to believe the voice before you can believe this. Yeah, you got to believe the voice. You got to have a revelation that God, the Holy Ghost himself, has come. Not a baptism, not a portion in this age or that age. No, you got to have a revelation now that the fullness is here. The fullness of Christ. And if the fullness of Christ is here, then the whole rapture is here. The entire rapture is here. Yes, it is. See? Now, they're rapturing. Let me just back up a little bit, one more sentence, because I really like it. They're over here. Let's just go back to the beginning, paragraph 45. See, in all in the Lutheran age, he pulled them out. All in the Wesleyan age, he pulled them out. See? All in the different ages and the Pentecostal age, he pulls them out. They're over here. Huh? How are they going to get over here? I guess it's going to take a resurrection. It's going to take a resurrection to get them over here. Right? Yes. Yes. The voice won't be judged with them. They're rapturing. That's right. And then when the last name comes out, that was put on the Lamb's Book of Life, that was slain before the foundation of the world, when the last name has been redeemed, His work is finished.
Amen.
Huh? And then what does he do? He comes to claim it.
Yes, sir.
He comes to claim it. That's right. What he has redeemed, that makes our hearts bleed.
Amen.
Praise be to God. And if it went on 1,000 years later, there would not be one redeemed. Wow. What about that? Isn't it interesting? But you know, that's the same in every age. Because once Luther's message went forth and it was done, not one more could come in under that.
That's right.
They had to come to Wesley.
Yep.
Once Wesley had preached his message and it was done and Pentecost broke open, not one more could come under this.
That's right.
They had to come under this.
Yep.
And when that Pentecostal age finished and those seals broke open, there's no going back. There's no going back to Pentecost. There's no going back to the word that fell on the day of Pentecost. No. It won't work today.
That's right.
That's the words of the prophet. It won't work today.
That's right.
No, now there's only one place. And that's you got to come right into Christ. You got to enter right into him.
Amen.
And he's the living word.
That's right.
Questions and answers. Now he's going to say this. Okay. If the church is saved, even this is the question. This is the question. So, if the church is saved, even though she does not go in the rapture, as I believe you taught, she must go through the tribulation for purifying. But what about these that are dead? How will they be purified? So, he's going to just deal with the bride, okay? The bride don't need no purification. She's already purified. And those that are dead back there, in the other ages, they never received the light that these churches up here has received. So Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, they never received this, right? They never received this because it wasn't there.
Right.
See, they lived under justification and sanctification and so forth. They lived to the light that they had. But now,
amen.
In this rapturing time like this, see, there will have to come a time now that this bride that rejects the head part of the bride will have to suffer for her rejection. Because the gospel wasn't made plain to them back there like it's made plain to you today.
That's right.
So they have to come up in this. Yeah. And those that rejected it, they're lost.
Right.
They're lost. You see it so plain. Now here, this is what I wanted you to get out of this paragraph, this quote. You, as Paul was talking to the saints, the prophet is talking to you. You done had all of those years and examples. Now he's really talking to us. Because now, since he's gone, we have had all of those years. Haven't we? We had all of those years of this message being preached and taught. And put out there. And the revelation coming forth. See? You done had all those years and examples. The seals opened. The church ages laid out. Everything like that. It's just so plain you can't miss it. Huh?
Right.
That's what we have.
Yes. But,
what, didn't the scripture say somewhere about, so every cloud of witness? Just like they had this abundance of witnesses. How much greater today is the witness, the testimony of the revelation that this message is the truth, that this message is the only truth.
Right.
Huh? It's so great. It's so powerful. That's why I said people arguing about the cloud, whether Brother Branham was standing there or not. No. He said, we didn't even see it. We didn't know. He said, they saw it. They took the picture. But the point is this. You argue about the cloud. But what about the revelation?
Amen. That's it.
You can't argue about this.
Right.
You can't argue that the revelation of the seven seals is in our hands.
Yes, sir.
You can't argue that the revelation of the seven church ages is made known.
Amen.
Not just to the spiritual bride, but to the intellectual. to the theologians.
Yes, sir.
I'm not encouraging you. If you want to listen to a message, listen to the prophet. But every once in a while, you just let something come by or it comes on and you listen for a minute or two. And it's amazing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know they read the book.
Yes, sir.
They've read these books.
Right.
There was nobody else that had this revelation. There was nobody else that understood this until God revealed it today.
That's right.
Everybody, including the prophet, believed that the white horse rider was Christ. And until the seals was revealed. And what makes that so beautiful and what makes that so powerful is that prophet sat in his room every day and he sweated and he prayed and he asked God and he studied and he searched his Bible and he searched the history. He searched the theologians, what they had taught. And he sat right there on that first seal. Go read it and he'll tell you. He sat there right there and he said, he was running out of time, brother. Can you imagine? A preacher's nightmare. The clock is ticking. And he only has a few more hours and he's got to be in the pulpit. And he don't know what he's going to say. And that was the prophet. Huh? We didn't think he ever had any of that. He had everything. Everything we go through, he did it. He went through it. And he sat right there until he didn't believe he had time. And his time was done. And he didn't have the revelation. He didn't know what God was going to do. And so what did he do? He went back and took what the theologian had said. And he said he'd preached the seals way back there. I don't know if they're recorded somewhere or not. They're there. He preached the seals way back there. Okay? And when he did, he preached it the way the theologians taught it. So on the first seal, he was going to do the same thing. Because he was running out of time and God didn't give him the revelation. And so what he did is he went back and he took what the theologians had said, that the white horse rider was Christ. And that's how he was going to come to the pulpit. And then what happened? God come in. God come down and said, no, that's not it, son. That's your best, but that's not it. Praise God. And he gave him the revelation. And he said, that was that deceiver. That was the Antichrist. That was Satan. That was the false prophet. That's the one. He had a bow and he didn't have any arrows. Praise be to God. And when I hear a preacher say that, I don't care how much they say they got that on their own, they're a liar.
That's right.
Yep. I'm telling you, one time, I've said this many times over the years, we traveled to Illinois to visit my dad before he passed. And we came in on a Wednesday and we drove up and they were going to church and he went to a Baptist church just right there. And so some of the family stayed there. Everybody was tired, but my dad was going to church. And so I went with him and we made him a few minutes late and we're walking in the door. And this little community of 100 people, 200 people, maybe 100 people. A little Baptist church, and we walk in the door late, and he's already preaching. And he said, now this white horse rider, he had a bow and no arrows. He was exactly word for word out of that first seal. And he said, people think that it's Christ, but it's not, because he didn't have any arrows. It was word for word. And I was just like, whoa. And this was 20 years ago, something like that,
yeah.
Maybe more. I can't remember how long, but it was way back there. And we were young. It could be 25, 30 years. Ha. Praise be to God. They're using it. They know there's never been nothing that made sense like this. This just makes sense. Then not just spiritually by revelation, but it just makes sense. All right, did we finish that? So plain you can't miss it. Praise God. He's given us so much. All right. Our time's getting away now. Easter seal. Oh, great. This is such a great message. But we're just getting a little piece of it here. And now there's no devil, no church, no theology that can overstep the boundaries of God's proof and abstract. That the baptism of the Holy Ghost has recognized us in Jesus Christ I think it says something in Ephesians there about being accepted. Yeah. Being accepted by him. Oh, I love that. I love that. Because it's been the theology for 2,000 years that it's you. You're accepting. You're doing this and you're doing that. No. It's not anything I could do. I couldn't even believe it. Huh? Right. I didn't even have faith to believe it. Right. He did it all. He gave me the faith. He gave me the revelation. He drawed me when I was out there in it. He snatched me out.
Yes,
huh? He caught me away. Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Praise be to God. See that the baptism of the Holy Ghost has recognized us in Jesus Christ. You're just as sure to raise as He raised. Because potentially, we have already raised in Him. The old things, what does it do to our mortal bodies? It turns our opinion, huh?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Transformation. Transpose. I was looking at these different words. And they're just perfect. They're just perfect. See, it turns our opinion. Changes our notions. It sets our affections on things which are above. And the smoking and the drinking and the gambling, the things that you used to do, is dead. It's beneath you. Huh?
That's right.
Yeah. It's beneath you. Amen. Brother Branham said, it's like a pig becoming a human being. Mm-hmm. You don't want to go back.
That's right.
No. I don't want to go back. What did it do in Luther's day? They came to it. It caught them. It caught them. And they agreed. And they said, this is just the wafer. It's not the literal body of Jesus Christ. This is wine.
Right.
It tastes the same right here as it does at home or does anywhere else. And wine was a common drink in those days. And have all your sodas and juices. And see, it changed them. It changed you.
Yes, sir.
In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye.
That's right.
That's the new birth. That's the new birth. That's the quickening of that seed.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Notice the Pentecostal people up there. When they got quickened by the Holy Spirit, listen to me now, when those Pentecostal group up there on the day of Pentecost received their abstract deed from God, sure, it glorified their souls. They screamed. They saw tongues of fire separated upon each one of them. It so quickened their body till they couldn't even speak in an earthly language anymore. It quickened their body to a heavenly language. The place they're going to, see? Yes. Quickening power of God shook their mortal body so until their entire mortal language was transfigured, transformed into an immortal language. What a quickening power, huh? See, something that belongs. And what does it do? Does it change your language? Yeah, it does. Maybe not in an unknown tongue, but it changes the way you talk, the way you think, the things that you do. You don't tell that trash anymore. You don't tell them dirty jokes anymore. You don't do that stuff anymore. No, it's beneath you. If the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in your mortal body, huh? Not a glorified body, your mortal body, it shall also quicken your mortal body. We are quickened then by the power of the living God.
Yes, sir.
Brother Branham said that when you put a seed in the ground and you water it and the sun comes on it, he said, not only is the seed quickened, but the earth around the seed is quickened. He said, not all the earth, but that right there around, it's quickened. And it creates a heat. There's an energy there. There's an energy there. Yes. It always amazes me to watch something come out of the ground. That little leaf is pushing that dirt back. And what is astounding is when it's dry and it hasn't had any water and the earth begins to cake and it's caking to protect the moisture deeper down. It's caking up. You say, well, it's just drying up. It's getting hard. It is, but it's protecting what's down there. It's protecting what's down there so it stays moist. And then to see this big old clod of dry dirt is being pushed up by this little leaf.
Amen.
And watch that big old clod begin to turn back.
Right. Yes.
It's amazing. Tongues quicken to a new heavenly language to speak to them, a rapturing up, a raising up, listen to this, into a different atmosphere. Huh? A rapturing up into a different atmosphere than what they ever lived in. Yes, with a new quickening life to them that come in them, it quickened them, their language. They spoke in new tongues. Oh, yes, they did. Praise be to God. Let's read that again, okay? Tongues. They spoke in tongues. On the day of Pentecost, they spoke in tongues. Quickened to a new heavenly language to speak to them, a rapturing up.
Yes, sir.
Are you getting that? Out there? Are you getting that rapturing? Are you getting that catching away? Are you getting that being snatched? Are you getting that escape? Huh? It's a revelation.
Yes, sir.
Huh? It's God revealing to you. It's the Spirit of God coming down in the day and age you live in and Him revealing Himself and you coming out of the world, you come out of the denomination, you come out of the church,
yes,
into the presence of God.
Amen.
That's heavenly places. The believer's position in Christ. See? Raising up, see? A rapturing up, a raising up into a different atmosphere than what they had ever lived in.
Right.
Glory to God. That's where you live today.
Yes, sir.
You're in an atmosphere that you've never lived in before. Since the new birth, you're living in another atmosphere. Now watch them. See, it also was designed. It was designed. He designed this. That when they got this spirit and this new life. After this abstract. After He gave them the title deed, it was designed to give them every promise that was on the grounds. Every promise on the grounds of God's Word that was promised in the Bible. That quickening power was given to them to quicken that promise to them. Every promise, all promises, is quickened to them. Therefore, they laid their hands on the sick and they was healed. They spoke in new tongues. They'd done great signs and wonders because that was in God's promise. And when Jesus died, He redeemed that back to them. The grounds that belonged to sons of God, He demonstrated what God was. How dare we to socialize that and put it into an organization? Glory. We have no rights to do that. All right, I think we're just got a couple paragraphs left and we're closing right here. Now, it's the Holy Spirit today hunting out honest hearts that will believe the message.
Amen.
Everything in the Bible that was promised is to the believer. And when you accept it in its fullness, and God knows that you'll do it, He gives you the abstract to that. Then every promise that's made is in your possession. And the Holy Spirit is there to quicken that to you.
Right.
Praise God. Oh, what kind of people should we be? How wonderful to see God's great Holy Spirit here to do that power. Think of it. When the Holy Ghost itself is here, see, itself here to bear record of this hour. Jesus said, He's the same. The Holy Spirit is here Himself. Is that what He said? The Holy Ghost itself. That's right. Himself. 252. Enoch was translated from death by God's transforming power. What did God do that for? For a type of the rapturing church that's coming. Yeah? Elijah was the same. They were changed. Jesus' body was quickened after it was dead. Brought back to life. In the grave, Jesus' body was quickened by the Word of God and transformed from a dead, cold image to a resurrected, glorified Son of God. Because the prophet in Psalm 16:10 said, if you want to put it down, I'll not leave his soul in hell, neither will I suffer my Holy One to see corruption. Brother Branham said, that's why Jesus was able to say and do the things that he did and die without fear. Because he knew that the scripture said he would rise. He knew it. The word has to come to pass. It's God's word. Plant it in your heart. If you want to go in a rapture, if you want to be Christians, genuine, place this word, as I believe it was Ezekiel. God said, take that scroll and eat it up, that the prophet and the word would become the same. And every promise in there has to manifest itself because it's God's original seed. Don't you let some educated theologian out there try to pump it out of you. Don't you let him spray you with that carnal science. See, and education, believe God. All right, there's one more. 14 and 15, sorry. I thought that was it. But this is really good. But if the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in your mortal bodies, it shall quicken your mortal bodies. We are quickened then by the power of the living God. Tongues quickened to a new heavenly language to speak to them. A rapturing up, a raising up into a different atmosphere than what they ever lived in. And from that day, they continued to live in that atmosphere. They didn't go back to the other atmosphere. No, they lived. They were raptured up into this atmosphere and lived in it. It was the presence of God. It was heavenly places, see? A different atmosphere than what they had ever lived in, with a new quickening life in them that come to them. It quickened their language. They spoke with new tongues. Praise be to God.
Yes,
praise be to his lovely name. Amen. This is the whole rapture. It's all the body. It's the body of Christ.
Yes,
and it's a revelation. And he's been really revealing himself all the way through. All the way through. And here we are in the climax of the whole thing. This is the climax age.
That's right.
This is the climax of the rapture. This is the rapture age. So many things that the prophet said. And we thank God for that. I'm going to ask Brother Michael to come. No, I think they were going to sing a song. The sisters were. And maybe... Okay. Okay. Huh? Okay, yeah, that'll be good. All right, so we missed it, but you'll save it for us. Let us stand together. Praise God.
Amen. I know you enjoyed that. And I'm sorry, I think I was a little bit of a problem there at the beginning. The doctors are really happy with my shoulder movement. The therapists are really happy. And I made a promise or said to myself, I said, as soon as I can raise my hand in worship, I'm going to raise my hand. And I did this morning. And Satan didn't like it. He didn't like it one bit. And so when I went back there, just he tried to give me a hard time. And it kept. And I was like, no, the Lord has healed us of all of our afflictions.
Amen.
And there's a miracle, and it can happen just like that.
Amen.
But then there's a process you go through, and that's fine. But all healing comes from God.
That's right.
Healing does not come from nothing else but God.
Amen.
The doctors can help you deal with it. The doctors can help you work through it. But all healing, physically and spiritually, comes from God. It doesn't come from nothing else. And so, I'm not good at following the rules. And I'm so tired of being constricted. I'm so tired of it. And I know that I'm supposed to do right. But I told myself, as soon as I can raise my hand, I said, I'm going to raise my hand. And I said, the doctors might get upset with me. I said, I might hurt something. But I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm healed.
Praise the Lord.
And so I appreciate the message. And I listened to the rapture message. And it's a powerful message. And the brother hit it. It said, it is a revelation.
Yes.
And how people can, you know, the people say, well, you say you're raptured, but I'm looking at you. I said, no, you ain't never seen me. You've only seen the house that I'm
in. Yes.
And the scripture he read this morning, or right there, and I just closed it up, but then it spoke to all of that are in him. And they said, well, no, I've got, you know, this person was just born, and, you know, if you're talking about the raptures being on, he said all that's in him.
Yes.
All that are alive here and that all that are in him. So it doesn't matter if you was born or if you're going to be born.
Yes.
You are in him from the foundation of the world.
That's right.
And once you get that revelation, it catches you up in back into him and you know who you are. So it doesn't matter. They say, oh, this is, I got to get this one. It doesn't matter. If they're in him, you're in the rapture.
Yes.
This is what you're living in.
Praise
Amen. It's going home time. And I don't know if I'll find it here. What's the name of that song? Going Home Time? Or it's a, is it a, it's a chorus. Okay, I got it. It's Going Home Time. Says D. It's on page 611.
It's going home time, we're justified by faith. It's going home time, we're sanctified by the blood. It's going home time, we're full of the Holy Ghost. It's going home time, and the bride has rapturing faith. It's going home time, we're justified by faith. It's going home time, sanctified by the blood. It's going home time, we're full of the Holy Ghost. It's going home time, and the bride has raptured. Oh, it's going home time, we're justified by faith. It's going home time, we're sanctified by the blood. It's going home time, we're full of the Holy Ghost. It's going home time, bride has rapturing faith.
Amen. He's talked about how each part of that, they had that part and it snatched them up, and they were okay in that part, and then they took another step and it snatched them out, and it is, at the end is the combination of all of it, and now we're snatched out of this world, this worldly cosmos, and we're raptured up into him.
Yeah, I'm just saying something. I had been feeling led for the last week or so to ask Brother Gumba to minister on Wednesday. And so I asked him yesterday, and he has agreed. And so he's going to be ministering on Wednesday, so you be praying for him.
Amen.
That God will just give a great anointing and a great message, and we'll come hungering and
thirsting
for revelation.
Yes. Amen. Let's pray and be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, truly you spoke to us this morning, Lord. Lord, to help us to realize, to tell us, to make more real our position, Lord, that we're not living in part, we're not living in this worldly cosmos, Lord, but you've raptured us up, Lord. You've snatched us away, you've called us away into yourself, Lord, and that's where we are, and that's where we're living, and that's the only place that there is life in this day, Lord. Lord, what a revelation that is, Lord. Make it greater each and every day, Lord, each step that you give us. Lord, as we go through this life, as we wake up each day that you've given us, Lord, it's to manifest that, Lord. It's to make that revelation known to each one of us, Lord. And we know the world can't receive it, Lord. We know that the world won't receive it, that they don't have that in them, Lord. But Lord, that seed that you placed in us, Lord, that you've given it life, you've anointed it, Lord. And then, as the brother was just speaking, that little pile of flesh, that little pile of earth around it begin to quickened. It walked differently. It looked differently. It talked differently, Lord. And Lord, in the world, they took notice it was different. And they wondered, but Lord, they won't receive it, Lord. And we appreciate that, Lord. We know it wasn't a work that we did or something that we said, Lord, to this fellow flesh, Lord, but that you've seen it before the foundation of the world, Lord. Just grace and mercy that in this last day that this true life, this true revelation, Lord, this reality would be lived out, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. We appreciate the message this morning. We ask a special blessing upon our pastor, Brother Don, Lord, as he's labored in the study, Lord, and as he moves to and fro, it's a constant thing on his mind, Lord. May you give him a great blessing this morning, a special anointing, Lord, and just be with him, continue to lead and guide him, Lord, and the different ones, the different ministers, Lord. And each of us, Lord, we all have a ministry, Lord. We might not all be behind the pulpit, but, Lord, it's a life being lived, Lord, and we minister one to another, Lord. You know each heart, each need, Lord. We ask that you come on the scene according to their faith. And, Lord, if our faith, Lord, I think of myself many times, I fail to truly have that faith, Lord, to step out on it, Lord. May you remove all doubt, or may you remove all fear, Lord, that revelation be first and foremost in all things, Lord. As we go from this place, may you bring us back in the next appointed time, Wednesday, Lord. Be with our brother Goomba as he's preparing, Lord, to minister to us. May you anoint him, Lord. We look forward to what you have to say to us, Lord. Just be with each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.